Wake up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, the NBA draft last night was fun. It was kind of neat. A lot of changes, that's for sure. 17 picks that were traded out. So this gives you the indication that if you get, like, if you watch this as a fan and you're like, oh, man, I'm so excited. This is great. Look at what our team got. Hold on. Just chill out a second, because they might just change hats and they might just, like, tell you later that that pick has been moved to Sacramento or something and you don't have that selection anymore. So nevertheless, but we got to get to some grades and talk about the night. Zion Williamson was the number one pick. That's no surprise. But, you know, the first three were really where I think people went, okay, this is pretty solid. I don't think we're going to see much after that. It didn't take long for the draft to go into, hey, the fourth pick, yeah, that's going to be a little different. So in that respect, the draft really had a lot of, the beginning didn't have very many surprises, but then in the end, it really, there were a lot of times and places where, you know, you had this, these changes that these teams were doing and these trades that these teams were doing that really did matter and did mean a lot. I think, for example, and again, I'll go over some of the thoughts in terms of teams and grades, but I think one of the biggest ones, the biggest teams that I think won the night was the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, listen, they got the fourth pick from the Lakers to the Pelicans to the Hawks, and they take DeAndre Hunter out of Virginia. That is a really good pick for them. And then they get another pick with 10 in Cam Reddish. This was a team that had three picks in the first round of the draft. Three. And they were able to use those to move up to get a pick. And then again, probably the Lakers were willing to trade out to New Orleans with the Anthony Davis trade. And then the Pelicans were willing to trade out to the Atlanta Hawks for more picks down the road, because they get Jackson Hayes where they want to get Jackson Hayes. It was just that kind of night. You couldn't get really comfortable with where teams were and, you know, where teams were picking, because you did not know later on if that pick that you may have really liked for your team was getting jettison somewhere else. We'll talk more about the draft coming up as we continue to look at both rounds one and two, as it was a big night in the NBA. SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
With the first pick in the 2019 NBA Draft, the New Orleans Pelicans select Zion Williamson from Duke University.
There you have it. First pick of the draft. No surprise. Would have been a really cool surprise if the Pelicans, like, took somebody else. Like, I'm sorry. Did you guys think we were taking Zion Williamson? I'm sorry.
Weren't you kind of hoping for that?
Yeah. You know, every draft, no matter when you have it, and there's such a consensus, you always want to be like, can we have a real shock at one? I think Anthony Bennett was one. Was it out of Cleveland? Was it Andrew Bennett or Anthony Bennett? One of those guys, big surprise a couple of years ago. But nevertheless, it was Zion Williamson, of course, then Ja Morant, and then R.J. Barrett. And that was the top three that we predicted was going to go in the top three. And then, of course, it got a little interesting at four. This was a night, I got to tell you, this was the night that I'm going to remember the trades. Because it were so many of them. You could not keep track of who was going where. And this goes back to something that we talked about with the NFL. This is either a business thing or it's a television show. And if it's a business thing, then you keep it the way it is. But if it's a television show, you've got to figure out how to do these trades in a way that doesn't present the event as very confusing. So you can't, for example, have the Lakers at four picking DeAndre Hunter because the Anthony Davis trade hasn't been finalized. So essentially the Lakers have the fourth pick, even though they kind of don't, and the Pelicans really do, and they trade it to Atlanta. It's just a weird way to do business because, again, the trade for Anthony Davis hasn't been finalized, so everything after that has to wait for the finalization, but everybody's in agreement that it'll just be finalized. It's a kind of a weird way to do it, but that's the way they do it. So you send kids up with hats that don't match the team that they're eventually going to be on. Jared Culver, for example, he's now a Minnesota Timberwolf. Where wasn't he was predicted. Where did he go before? I was trying to remember.
They were looking at almost seemed like he was going to go four. Yeah. He ended up going six.
Right. And he was taken in the draft by the Phoenix Suns with the sixth pick. So he's up there wearing a Suns hat and then boom, he gets traded to Minnesota and he's the sixth pick in the draft. I mean, he's the sixth pick, and he was traded to Minnesota.
Do you think he was bumming a little bit? Like,
yeah, maybe, right?
Phoenix, it's kind of, you know, hot. I mean, it's hot weather there, but, yeah, it's a happening town.
Yeah,
and
it's a good
get
city.
Traded to Milwaukee.
Yeah, he's like, oh, well, I don't have to deal
or
with
Minnesota.
Winter. And he's going to the coldest place in the United States.
My God.
Yeah, and it was like that all night. I mean, take Oklahoma City. They were picking 21st. They traded with Brandon Clark gets picked at Gonzaga. Memphis grabs that pick. Then the Thunder go down to 23. They take Darius Bazley, the kid who was supposed to go to Syracuse, but instead was like an intern at New Balance while he was working on his NBA game. That's the way it was, again, all night long. And in the second round, it was worse because the second round, you couldn't get excited about anything. You had to hold on and hold your horses because there were all sorts of movement up and down the line. This was great from that type of drama, but it's not that great as a business entity because, again, you can't get fans all that jazzed up about selections that aren't going to be going down that way later. And I think that's where, if you're the NBA, you might want to tinker with this a little bit because, again, you don't want to take the business end out of it. You can't tell teams, nope, you got to draft a guy and stick with it. You can't do that. But at the same time, this is a television program. This is watched by so many people and absorbed by so many fans. You can't have this kind of confusion when fans are like, yeah, I love that kid from Duke. Yeah, or Gonzaga or Arkansas or wherever. Yeah, I think it's going to be great. And then 5 minutes later, you're like, oh, no, we did what? We traded him? Oh, yeah, okay, that's too bad. And I think, you know, almost every fan base was going through something like that. I mean, the Denver Nuggets had no pick in the draft last night, none. And yet the Miami Heat, picking 44th, took Ball Ball out of Oregon. And guess what? They traded him to Denver. Now, Ball Ball was projected by some, even despite the injury, as being a first-round pick. So the Nuggets have a guy, if he works out, heals correctly, and puts some effort into his job, could be a fantastic player for them at 7-2. But they get him in the second round and a pick with the Miami Heat. And if it doesn't work out, they really didn't lose much. I mean, this was that kind of night. But it was, I mean, listen, I love the draft. I think it's fun. I mean, despite all the trades and the confusion, I think it's great. But like I said before at the top of the hour, I think the team I was really impressed with was the Atlanta Hawks. They really got a haul. They really got a nice haul. They used the picks the right way. Package them. Move up. Get the player you want at four in DeAndre Hunter. Right? Cam Reddish is available at 10, and you can get him there too. They picked up two first, top 10 picks in the draft and manipulated their three selections and did really, really well. And by all accounts, and those who really know, like Bruno Fernando, the kid out of Maryland, they like him in round two for Atlanta. So Atlanta did really, really well. I just like Atlanta from the first two picks that they had in the top 10 to go along with Trae Young. So again, it was one of those kind of nights. But Zion Williamson, the emotion of being the number one overall pick. I loved what he was talking about, how much sacrifice his mom made. He had been dreaming of this since he was four. It was neat to see because even though everybody knew Zion Williamson, including Zion Williamson, was going to be taken with the number one pick, until your name is called, it doesn't really hit you until it does, right? That moment of, oh my God, I am the number one pick in the draft. I mean, I knew it. I've been preparing for it. People have been talking to me. My newly hired team, my agent, my people have been telling me this. We've been preparing for this. But that moment that it's called, you saw the real emotion on his face of accomplishing that goal. It was kind of neat. I was watching a little bit of it with my daughter, and it was, you know, I told her, I said, look at these guys. They're sitting at these tables and they know, you know, they're instant millionaires. Their lives are changed forever by sitting at these tables and hearing their name called. Whether it's RJ Barrett, whether it was Darius Garland, whether it was Jared Culver, whether it was Kobe White, whoever it was, that moment you were getting drafted, it was pretty awesome. You may not know which team you're going to, but nevertheless, it was still pretty cool. So a good night for the NBA last night. But again, the business was the winner tonight. The business of the league was the winner, given that there were 17 trades and given that there was movement all around this draft. Teams were looking at free agency, were trying to create some cap space. Teams that were looking to rebuild were trying to make deals with teams moving up. All of that in play last night. And it was a very, very, very busy evening for people who cover the draft. I mean, I've been trying to analyze this for the last couple of hours and I still haven't figured out where it all ended up with all these moves, especially in round two. I mean, I was going through it again, and I went, oh, when did that change? I thought that guy was going to Boston, and then he ends up, you know, going to another team. The Knicks, for example, took Kyle Guy, the Virginia guard. They took him, but now he's going to Sacramento now. So you can't, again, if you're a fan of these teams, you can't get locked into it that much. And then, of course, there was the couple of names I didn't recognize because they played for like Lithuania or something. So I had to just take people's word for it that they were pretty decent. Most of the college guys I was, you know, I was like, okay, that works. Or I don't know how he's going to fit there, but albeit. So we'll get some grades. You know, if you want, we'll do a little bit of that later on in the program. We'll talk more about the draft and the impact of some of these players that could be made and which teams really kind of jumped up. I like Atlanta, as I said, but that's not the only one. But coming up next is a thing in Major League Baseball I want to get to that could really shape one franchise in particular and two cities. I don't know if this makes any sense, but we'll break down what the Rays may be thinking next on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could be with us, SB Nation AM. Doing a repair that needs a special tool? O'Reilly Auto Parts makes it easy with their loaner tool program. Over 80 specialized loaner tools are available, so they're sure to have the tool in stock to help get the job done. Purchase the needed parts, put down a deposit on the loaner tool, return the tool in the original condition, receive a full refund. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. So we'll get more in the NBA draft, the winners, losers, etc., all the things you'd expect from a post-draft program. But boy, this next story in Major League Baseball, I was scratching my head wondering, what are teams doing? What is Major League Baseball doing with this? The Tampa Bay Rays are flirting with the idea, get this, of becoming a two-city franchise, playing half of their games in St. Petersburg and then the other half of their games in Montreal. And the reason is they want a new stadium, and they want a new stadium badly. They do not draw very well in St. Pete, and they're hoping to get something from somewhere in Montreal. And get this, Rob Manfred is exploring this, and it could actually come down to, whether or not one of the cities can put together a deal for a new stadium. This is either a ruse to get a new deal or two, actual plan to raise revenue for the Tampa Bay Rays, who can't draw anybody in the St. Petersburg area. This is bluffing. It's got to be bluffing, right? Would a team actually do this? And by the way, has anybody talked to the Players Association as to whether or not this is actually going to be cool with them? To have players on a team spending half of the year in Tampa and the other half in Montreal with no continuity for their families?
You know, in a way, it could benefit Tampa in the sense that when they have those road trips against the Yankees and Red Sox, and then they just go home to Montreal.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, that's the only positive to it all. But, I mean, if you say, you know, you're playing a home game in Montreal, do you go and have a home game in Tampa the same week?
This sounds like this is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard, and I can't. But at the same time, I'm wondering, God, is this being taken seriously in the Major League Baseball offices? And if it is, doesn't this open up the door for other teams to do this too?
You know, I think what we can do, we can blame Buffalo, but the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I guess we could.
Because they've been doing it for a while now.
They've been
although doing it for a while. Although the fan base is, I mean, literally it's just on the other side of the lake. It's not.
But that's, that's a huge difference. Legit. That's legit. That's like saying, well, that's my territory. I'm just going to go play there because that's kind of our territory.
Well, I heard that Tampa was exploring a few options in the Dominican Republic, but shot them down.
Shot that down quickly. Put that to bed. What a weird story this is.
It is. It's. But you know what? I almost welcome it. I want to see it happen.
Well, here's the deal. There's a couple of cities that would love a Major League Baseball team, and I don't know if the cities are viable or not, but I know Charlotte would love one. Where I live in Nashville, there's always, since I moved here about 10 years ago, there's always been this committee is exploring the possibility of a Major League Baseball team. Yeah, it's been going on forever.
Isn't baseball big in the South?
It is, yeah.
I mean, but we have very few South teams.
And Atlanta runs kind of the gamut, right?
Yeah.
They kind of own the Southeastern. Like, before Tampa came to being, the Atlanta Braves were Florida's team.
I mean,
mid-central to upper Florida was the team. The Marlins had got in 93. 5 years later, the Rays came to town. The Yankees kind of own Tampa a bit. Their spring training facility is there. There's a lot of New York transplants. But the Braves kind of, you know, technically it was Braves territory. Like St. Louis, the St. Louis Cardinals had a large territory in the Midwest before we started putting teams in other cities. But if you're the Rays, you either can play in St. Petersburg or you can't. This idea of you splitting time, just admit that this has been a failure, that no matter how good you are, no one's going to the games, and then explore options to move.
Well, it's
what's the deal about moving to Montreal?
What I know, it's almost like they have amnesia, because how many fans make it to Tampa games now?
Right.
You think that's going to change when you get to Montreal? That was part of the reason why they left Montreal, is because they couldn't get fans. It was the only franchise I've ever seen that actually had cheerleaders on the field. Because they were trying anything to get people to come to the Montreal games.
And why half in Tampa, half in Montreal? Why don't you just mix it up? Why don't you just be like, this week we'll be in Montreal, and next week we'll be in Tampa, and then next week... This makes no sense.
If you plan it right, you can make sure that the Rays have home games all season long.
Is this? Yeah, it's true. Is this Major League Baseball's way of having, like, you know, like when the NFL had LA open and teams were like, well, we'll have to move to LA if we don't get a new stadium, wink, wink, and they all got new stadiums? Yeah. Is this Major League Baseball's way of going, well, moving to Charlotte doesn't seem threatening enough, so we'll just do this.
But take our talents to Canada.
If you're the St. Petersburg Board of Governor or whatever the government is called down there, Tampa, do you just go, you know what? Fine, split your games, deal with all that. We're not building you a $300 million stadium, so go away.
And why Montreal? Why not Winnipeg?
Yeah, why not, right? How about Vancouver?
We can have the Winnipeg Rays. Would they have to change their name if they move to Montreal? Because I don't know many Rays in Montreal.
Yeah, it's a good one. They would they change uniforms? Would they have a different... I mean, it'd be so confusing.
Change it to the Moose?
And you know what would be really fun is once the analytic nerds get to it, they'll be like, well, Kevin Kiermaier is hitting, you know, well, he doesn't even play for the Rays anymore, I don't think. But
we don't know anyone who does play for the Rays.
Avisiel Garcia is batting .282 in Tropicana Field. He's batting .314 in Montreal. Like, it's just, I don't know. It just seems like a ridiculous story. But it goes back to the point. Listen, if it was tried, it's not working. You play in a dome that's stupid. It's got a catwalk, for crying out loud. It's like,
where the balls get lost all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Go
Players
move.
Duck every time it gets, you know, you get a moonshot in that dome.
Right.
You're like, oh God, it's going to hit me. Where is it going to land?
I mean, and that's a and they're a good baseball team. They're competing for the division. And
that
yet,
doesn't matter.
Nobody
Tony.
Wants to go to these games down matter. There. None. God. Oh, I did find out Kevin Kiermaier is still playing for the Rays.
See, there you
God
go.
Bless him. I thought he got traded.
What can we do this? If we're going to have a two-city team, can't the Yankees split their time in Tampa?
Sure.
Because I think they would draw a lot more fans.
Yeah, they'd be more popular. The place sells out. Sells out when they're there. I mean, a lot more people go. But when the Rays are playing, let's say, the Baltimore Orioles, it's like 3,000 people show up.
Well, that's what they say the attendance is. I think it's far less.
Oh, Lord knows. I know this. I worked in minor league sports. You know how many times in minor league basketball? I was working in Vegas, and we had the Thomas and Mack Center. And I'd sit there, and I'd go, 1, 2, 3. And my general manager would come down, and she'd go, because I used to do the full box score and statisticals and stuff. And she would say, tonight's attendance, 2,713. And I'm like, you're making that up. There's no way 2,713 people are here. I counted 16. It's the same thing.
We're rounding up, Tony.
Yeah, it's the same thing in Tampa. Do you think people in Montreal are excited about this? They're like, no, we just got rid of the Expos. We're good. We didn't want them to begin with.
I don't really think they're hurting for baseball. It's not like, you know, when Cleveland lost their franchise, there was an uproar. When Montreal lost their franchise, it was like, oh, yeah, I forgot they were here. That's okay.
Exactly.
Take the Canadians away from Montreal, then you're going to have riots.
So apparently, and this is the other part of the story, the city of St. Petersburg has to give permission to the Rays in order to have a home game outside of Tropicana Field. So I'm sure the city of St. Pete is more than happy to go, oh, no, take a half a year and go somewhere else. But again, Major League Baseball is pretty persuasive. They might be able to get to the people of, you know, the government of St. Petersburg and go, yeah, let's twist some arms here. Let's make this happen. But if you're Rob Manfred, you can't let this go down. You gotta either move the team somewhere else or find a way to get a stadium in that area that's plausible enough to be. You can't have the union, the players union is not going to go for this. Players don't want to live in two cities in the same year. They move to these cities. They put their families there. They know they're going to spend a good chunk of time. It's not like football, right? Where you're there for a couple of months and then the off season hits and you may go back to Arizona where you're living. Major League Baseball players live in that city. They are there for a long time, especially Florida, especially Tampa. The state has no state income tax, right? That's the other thing. So the Rays don't have any state income tax in the state of Florida. Can you imagine a player now going to Canada and have to pay Canadian taxes for half the year? What an audit nightmare that's going to be. Listen, I've already come up with 5 or 6 reasons why this is stupid.
Yeah, but I'll give them the positive. They get free health care.
Very true. For half the year.
For half the year.
While they're there.
How does that work?
Like, are you a Canadian citizen? Well, kind of, right? I play 40 games up here.
If you get a major injury down in Tampa, do you just kind of hold off on surgery?
Right. Yeah.
Until it's like, oh, well, next home game's not until 2 weeks from now. So you just got to keep that arm dislocated. Don't worry. We'll get you taken care of.
God, what a weird story this is. When I read it, I kind of had to do a double take. Like, okay, wait a minute. What are they trying to do here?
No, when you first said, you know, they want to explore two-city franchise, the first thought that went through my mind is like, oh, they want to play half their time in St. Petersburg, and they're going to play half their time in Tampa.
Yeah, it's fine.
Because, you know, people don't realize it's two separate cities.
Two separate cities surrounded by water.
Yeah, and we all know, what is you've told me over and over again, Tampa doesn't travel to St. Petersburg?
That's
right. Or is
it
the other way around?
Nope. People in Tampa don't travel to St. Petersburg, and people in St. Petersburg will go across the bridge to, like, see the – everyone goes to the Buccaneers. But people in Tampa don't go to St. Pete. So that's half your city.
You really think they're going to go to Montreal?
So, yeah. Take a road game out to Montreal.
No, it's a home game, Tony.
Yep, can't do it. Goodness. What a bizarre story. Back to the NBA draft, the winners and losers, at least the way I kind of evaluated it. How did you evaluate it? On Twitter, @ Tony D Radio, @ Ron Culver, that's Ron with 2 N's, on SB Nation AM.
is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us on a Friday. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM, NBA draft last night. One of the takeaways, and there were a lot that I had last night, was if you're a player and you get invited to be a part of the festivities of the draft, I hope you have good people around you that really will give you an honest evaluation of where you're going. Because poor Ball Ball of Oregon was actually in the green room, actually at the draft, in a suit, ready to be taken on stage in the opening round, and didn't go until round two. He was a poor guy. Listen, he fell, and he fell hard. But he was talked up as a lottery talent. He was talked up as, he was 7'2", son of Manute Bol. But he was coming off a foot injury. He was coming, and there was questions, of course, of whether or not, you know, how much effort he was putting into the, you know, his work ethic and things like that. But I never thought, with his talent and his size, that that would be a factor. Like, you would pass up that kind of talent, and again, size, because there was somebody, some whispering somewhere that maybe his work ethic wasn't up to par. But apparently it scared, the injury plus that scared enough teams off that he ended up going in round two to Miami and then get traded to the Nuggets. Now look, I told you yesterday about the Nuggets. In an ever-shaping Western Conference, where the Lakers are now good, right? And New Orleans is building something cool. And, you know, you still have Golden State, even without Durant, when Klay Thompson comes back, you still have the formidable Golden State Warriors. You still have now with Mike Conley with the Utah Jazz, they get put into the finals consideration. The Denver Nuggets, who were the second best team in the West last year, are looking at that landscape and saying, okay, wait, if we stand pat, is what we have good enough to be a factor in an ever-changing Western Conference that seems to be getting better around us? Well, there's two things now that Nugget fans can look at in this upcoming season. And one is the workouts of Michael Porter Jr., who they got from Missouri, who sat out last year and has been working his way back into basketball shape. All reports are that he is really, really doing well. He is a really strong talent. The Nuggets could, you know, by adding him, it's almost like adding a strong rookie coming into the draft, except he's got, you know, a year of working out, you know, workout experience with NBA trainers. And then if Ball works out for them, and again, you're not looking for a major impact here, but enough that if Ball works out for him, this becomes a steal. They don't really have to give up much for them. They even can wait on him if they want. They can relax his growth and utilize him in the future, like really make sure he comes back from injury and really make sure that he's, you know, putting a lot of time and effort into it. But again, this is a Nuggets team that is not going to look the same despite not having a pick last night. One, Ball could be somewhat of a factor for them this upcoming season. But by waiting on Michael Porter Jr., adding him to a team that finished second in the Western Conference, that's a big boost. So they didn't necessarily need a pick to change how they were looking ahead in this upcoming season. And I think that's worth noting, because the one team in the West that I think stole the night was the New Orleans Pelicans, and not because of Zion Williamson. We had Zion Williamson already pegged for New Orleans. That was already a done deal in analyzing where New Orleans was heading with the addition of the three guys from the Lakers, the absence of Anthony Davis, the Zion Williamson selection. But what they were able to do with their haul, I mean, they got rid of Solomon Hill's expiring contract. They took the fourth pick that they were getting from the Lakers, turned that into other picks from the Atlanta Hawks, and then picked Nikhil Alexander-Walker of Virginia Tech, and then Texas center Jackson Hayes. These are amazing selections. This is David Griffin doing the best job he can and taking this franchise that couldn't build anything around Anthony Davis at all of those years, and said, this is a brand new game in New Orleans. I not only have Zion Williamson, the top pick in the draft, but I'm going to turn the other assets that I'm getting into gold. And he did. Again, Atlanta would love to take the expiring contract of Solomon Hill off and then create cap space to build up for a young team that they're putting together in the future. And the Pelicans are like, great. He's gone. Now I get these picks. I got the fourth pick I don't necessarily need, so I'm going to turn that into something with Atlanta's three picks, and they pick up two guys that are exceptional, good, strong talent in the first round. New Orleans has now got cap space and a bevy of young talent. That's how you change a franchise. That's how you take Anthony Davis and turn it into something great and excitable for the city of New Orleans. Normally, you think about where this franchise was at the trade deadline of this year, think about the pressure that everyone was putting on New Orleans to make that deal with the Lakers for Anthony Davis. Send Anthony Davis away. And the Pelicans said, wait. We still have him, and we're not going to trade him today. So you all can stop crying and stop picking up the phone, because we're going to see where this goes. We're going to see what this is going to look like. And look what they were able to do. Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart. Now, all of these picks that are coming from Los Angeles in the future, they had the number one pick in any way with Zion Williamson. They turned the pick that the Lakers gave them into two other picks. They pick up Jackson Hayes and Nickeil Alexander-Walker. All of this because of Anthony Davis. Maybe not so much the lottery pick, but all of the haul that they got for Anthony Davis, that is what you're supposed to do. That is what you're supposed to do instead of trading away a superstar and then crawling into the corner crying that life isn't fair. Good for David Griffin. He could be executive of the year because he's got a really young team that is going to be really fun to watch. This is a great haul. And again, look, Zion makes him a winner because he's the number one pick and he's a surefire change of franchise talent. We all get that. But it's the side stuff. It's all this. It's the two extra picks. It's what they did that makes them a winner even more. You know, of course, when you do these kind of grades, you go, well, A+ for the, New Orleans Pelicans. They got the best player in the draft. Well, great. Yeah, but they were also able to parlay all of this haul into something pretty great. So one of my, top thoughts going into the draft last night. A good show, fun times. The outfits were great. These young kids know how to dress, or do they? Am I missing something?
Nah, they don't know how to dress. They have people who
dress
them.
Is that the new style?
What, the tight pants?
Well, what they were wearing. is that like these jackets like Tyler Hero was wearing and these guys, PJ Washington?
What do you mean, like when they open
them up? The jackets. No, like the multicolored, the pastel look.
You mean going like harking back to
paint.
The splatter paint. Okay.
Is that a new style?
Apparently.
See, I don't.
It's going to be all the rage.
With...
I know that's the jacket you have, right?
Yeah, that's the way I roll.
For your upcoming trip?
At my old age, that's the way I'm rolling. Taking a jacket, splashing a bunch of colors on it.
Seems easy to make, though. I mean, it seems like you could just buy a regular jacket and just have some fun with it.
Yeah. Ball Ball was wearing a jacket with a spider web on it. I thought it was cool. Like, it was...
You can't just wear normal suits anymore.
No, you can't. What happened to the good old days when you could just get a Armani and just walk up with that?
I'm surprised no one's really caught on with the half shirt tuxedo thing.
Yeah.
Some guys Ezekiel Elliott did.
Yep, I liked that. What happened? Remember the guy the Steelers drafted? The Devin Bush was wearing like that cast at the NFL draft? I'm surprised nobody pulled that off. That cast look. Man, these guys were fashionable last night. It was great. It was great. But at the same time, it's, obviously big night, cashing in on a dream. Make a fashion statement. Like, why don't you go for 3 for 3? Tell mom and dad how much you love them for all the sacrifice they put into your life.
You know what it kind of reminds me of? That it's almost like they're paying homage, and I feel horrible that I can't remember that guy's name. The one who passed away recently, who was a sideline reporter for years.
Oh, Craig Sager.
Craig Sager.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're taking a page out of his book.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. It's a good point.
And so, let's just have fun with it. Yeah. That's all it's about. Just have fun. I mean, it's far better than, you know, the professor patches on the elbows or...
Yeah, I mean, you don't want them wearing a smoking jacket while they're walking
plaid,
upstairs. Yeah.
Remember the plaid look back from the early 80s?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
At least this was making a comeback. Yeah,
it's good times. But again, last night, just so many trades. It's hard to keep up with everything.
I don't even know who's where. I'm at this point, Zion Williamson could be playing for another team soon. We don't know.
But it's weird too. Like if you're trying to follow it, like you go to NBA.com and they still have the team that had that pick put on the draft board. So they still have Lakers DeAndre Hunter. Well, that's kind of official, right? But it's not what people want. People want to know where is he going to go.
And
he's not going to play for the Lakers.
Isn't that somewhat confusing as well? I mean, I know everything. I mean, Anthony Davis is going to sign, but what if, since it's not official yet, what if Anthony Davis goes, I don't really want to play for the Lakers?
Yeah, that's right.
Do the Lakers get their fourth pick back, and are they stuck with DeAndre Hunter? And how does that work?
See, that's a great question, because the team that has the pick in a non-trade, so if you and I trade picks, that's fine. But if it's part of a deal like with the Anthony Davis, technically DeAndre Hunter belongs to the Lakers right now.
Yeah.
Like
what if they're sitting there going like, you know, we've never really looked at highlight film.
Right.
Or what if LeBron comes out and goes, you know what, I think I'd much rather play with him than AD.
Yeah, right.
Make it happen.
So again, the Lakers had the fourth pick via the lottery. They traded that to New Orleans, who traded that to Atlanta. Without the deal being finalized yet. So this is like you renting a house and then renting that house to a friend who rents it out to another friend until the landlord says it's okay? Is that how this works?
Or maybe selling it.
Yeah,
selling
right.
Selling my
exactly.
rental house. Like I'm renting a house from you, but then I'm going to go ahead and sell it to my friend.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So that's what the Pelicans did. The Pelicans took a pick they don't technically have and traded it to Atlanta, but it still belongs to LA.
How
until
is
the
that
deal was
allowed?
Finalized. I don't know. That's what makes it so bizarre. So again, if you're the Lakers, you go, well, we're making the pick. Then we're giving it the rights to you to give the rights to somebody else. Do you pick a bad player? Do you shock the world by taking a...
See, now how fantastic would that be? They just grab some no-name person from UC Irvine.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, this guy's going to be your fourth pick.
Or is that part of the deal, right? Is that part of the deal? Like, all right, part of the Anthony Davis deal that's finalized is that we tell you who we want, or better yet, the other team will tell you who they want. We've traded that pick away. It's maddening. It's absolutely maddening. So, but it was that kind of night. Now, the biggest complaint that I was seeing in all the post-analyst analysis shows was, yeah, the NBA's got to do something about those hats. Yeah, it is kind of, you know, if a guy's got a hat of a team he's not playing for, that is a bad look. But what are you going to do? There's nothing you can do about it. You just got to roll with it until you sort it all
well,
out
I mean,
later.
I guess you can hold up a jersey, right?
Yeah, you can do that.
But
yeah.
I mean, that's far-fetched too, because I mean, a lot of these guys, as soon as they were selected, they were shipped.
They were shipped completely. Like I said, Jared Culver thought he was going to Phoenix. He ended up going to Minnesota. All right. Again, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Your thoughts on the NBA draft as we roll along on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio. So the NBA draft last night, we'll get more analysis as we move along throughout the morning. I do, you know, the Memphis Grizzlies, for example, took Ja Morant. And again, they had picked up another player. I think they picked up Brandon Clark out of Gonzaga later on in the draft, later in the round. But Ja Morant going to Memphis, right, to replace Mike Conley, it's a good move for Memphis because, again, Conley, you kind of jettison his contract, et cetera. But remember, Ja Morant was one of the more exciting players in the NCAA tournament this past year, and a lot of people didn't see him during the regular season because he played for Murray State out of the OVC. But there was enough highlights of him, you know, on the highlight oriented shows that people were kind of familiar with him as he got to the tournament. And then he had that incredible run for Murray State. We played out of his mind. This is where that kind of stuff pays off for a player, is that this is what's missing when you decide the trend is, well, I'm going to stay away from college. Maybe I'll go play in Australia, or maybe I'll play overseas, or all of that stuff. You miss out on the opportunity to make an impact on the American public with 1 year of basketball, with one really good year of basketball. Ja Morant playing in the NCAA tournament for Murray State had that upset, and getting into the mind and the psyche of the American public. Now, basketball guys and basketball scouts know who he is, right? They know who he is. They know the talent, et cetera, et cetera. But it allows your fan base in on the excitement of that player because they remember him from the NCAA tournament instead of, oh, that guy, yeah, you're going to have to tell me if he's any good or not because I don't really know. I'm not really following international basketball, or I'm not really following guys on the high school level that are playing overseas. You get the NCAA tournament, even if a guy has just got 1 year of fun, Steph Curry, we saw him do that, at least he becomes recognizable. And for Memphis, they've replaced an absolute stalwart player for their city with a guy a lot of people recognize and know.